very much. A lot of meat in that song. Well, let's go to Proverbs chapter 29 this morning. We finished our study through the life of Joseph last Sunday, and if you'd like to have some of those messages on CD, see Josh after the service today. Some of those are also available for you to download on our website if you'd like to listen to those again. We're in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 22. I promised you last week that I would talk about anger today. And so I was real careful this week. I told my wife, I'm going to talk about anger, so I'm going to walk real cautious. So I did so far. Okay? Let's see. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 22. An angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Adam and Eve's first son was Cain. And when Cain grew up, one day he had a fit of anger and killed his brother Abel. The first baby ever born was a furious man. It led him to hate and to murder. Now, of course, not everybody that gets angry murders somebody, thankfully. But the Bible says in this passage, an angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. Here are some news items that I read this week. Jack Herbst of El Paso County, Colorado, was owed $80 by his neighbor. His neighbor didn't pay the money back on time, and he became upset. Mr. Herbst went over, took his front-end loader, ran it into his neighbor's house, his neighbor's garage, his neighbor's camper, his neighbor's trailer, his neighbor's propane tank, his neighbor's classic car collection, his neighbor's trees, and caused $250,000 in damage. A furious man abounds in transgression. By the way, Mr. Herbst was arrested. A man named Guy Jones in Cecilville, West Virginia, came home last May and found out his wife did not have dinner on the table in time. So he burned the house down. Guy is in jail. Melanie Reed didn't get any mayo or mustard packets with her order at Wendy's at Daytona Beach, Florida. So she ran her car into the restaurant and tasered the workers. The Volusia County Sheriff's Department arrested her. Now, this one's not as bad. In January, Melody Duchesne ordered McNuggets at Toledo McDonald's. But it was too early for McNuggets because it was breakfast time. So Melody punched out the drive-through window. She has been charged with felony vandalism for punching out the window at breakfast time. The Bible tells us here, an angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. Number one today, there is a holy anger. We call it righteous indignation. I'm not talking about somebody out of control, like these people I've just mentioned to you. I'm not talking about somebody who is just in a fit of rage. But the Bible tells us that God himself can get angry. Psalm 7, verse 11 says, God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. God is angry with the wicked every day. The book of Nahum, and there is a book in the Bible called Nahum. Have you read it recently? Chapter 1 and verse 3 says, the Lord is slow to anger, and for that we can be gracious. Gratitude. Nahum 1 verse 6, just three verses later, says, who can stand before his indignation? Who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? Revelation 19, verse 15, speaks of the second coming of Christ. He treadeth the winepress in wrath of Almighty God. That's why there's a hell. That's why there's judgment. Because God is angry with the wicked. God is angry concerning sin. God is not only angry. Thank God he is also gracious. God is love. God is light. God is long-suffering. God is merciful. One day, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. The Lord Jesus lived here for 33 years upon this earth. The Lord Jesus Christ at times became angry, a holy anger, not a fit of rage, but a holy anger. In Matthew chapter 21, he goes into the temple. And the Bible says he cast out those that were the money changers and those that were selling doves and other animals. Because the place of worship had become misused, there were exorbitant prices being charged. And he kicked out those that were abusing the house of God. He said, "My house shall be called of all nations, a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." He was angry. One day when the Lord Jesus Christ was going to heal a man who had a problem with his hand, the Pharisees were standing around and they were waiting to watch and see if Jesus would heal anybody on the Sabbath day that they might find something against him to accuse him concerning. And the Bible says in Mark chapter 3 and verse 5, "And when he looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their heart, he said unto the man, stretch forth thy hand." Some things from that passage are in Mark 3, verse 5. The Bible does tell us he was angry. A holy anger, not a fit of rage where he's just throwing a tantrum. But the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says here, was not only angry, but he was grieved because of the hardness of the hearts of the people. And grief is kind of the balance on anger. But the Lord Jesus Christ looked around on these people who were waiting to criticize him if he would heal this man on the Sabbath day, and they had no ability to heal any man on any day of the week. He went ahead and healed the man anyway. From that I learned that we cannot let angry people keep us from doing what is right. One day the Lord Jesus Christ was teaching some adults, and some people wanted to bring their children for Jesus to put his hands on them and pray over them. And the disciples said, "No, the Lord doesn't have time for that right now." Mark chapter 10 and verse 14, the Bible says, "When Jesus saw it, he was much displeased." Wasn't very happy about it. "Suffer or allow the little children to come unto me," he said, "and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God." One time in the Bible, it says that we have the right at certain times in our life to be angry. But along with that is a command. In Mark, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, 27, "Be ye angry." What's the next part of it? "And sin not." Be angry and sin not, and that's the problem with us. Because most of the anger that we have in our life is not holy anger. It's not righteous indignation. It's the anger of man. It's the passion that flows from our own flesh and from our own lust because our pride is hurt. In that verse, it says, Ephesians 4, verse 26, 27, "Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Take care of it before the sun sets." The next verse says, "And neither give place to the devil." Don't give any territory to the devil. And anger is one of those ways in which many people, many Christians, give more territory to the devil. And he begins to take over part of their life. And if you give the devil an inch, he'll take a mile. And anger is one of those things we have to get control of in our life. James chapter 1, verse 19 says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man," the anger of man, "worketh not the righteousness of God." Man's anger, this comes from our own pride, never works the righteousness of God. A hot, quick, explosive temper never honors God. So there is a holy anger, number one, today, but usually our anger is not a holy anger. Number two, from our passage today, found here in verse 22, anger destroys the most important relationships. An angry man stirreth up strife. Anger destroys our relationships with people. The word anger in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word, is a kind of interesting word. It actually comes from the word nose. And the idea is of a nose flaring. And the Bible is talking about somebody's just angry. Their nose is flaring with anger. Nostrils flaring. On the other hand, the concept of long-suffering in the Old Testament, of patience over a long period of time, also comes from the word nose. It means a long nose. So it takes a long time for the person to flare up and get angry. God is long-suffering. And the Bible tells us here that this person who is their nose is flaring with anger, an angry man stirreth up strife. The next chapter in Proverbs, chapter 30, look at the last verse. Proverbs 30, verse 33. Proverbs 30, verse 33. Surely the churning of milk bringeth forth butter. I wonder if I have any volunteers for this one. And the wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood. And so the forcing of wrath bringeth forth strife. Now the Bible's talking in this context also about anger. Wrath, stirring up strife. But notice the first part of the verse. Surely the churning of milk. The word churning there is the same word translated stirreth. An angry man stirreth up strife. An angry person always keeps things churned up, always stirred up. Not in a positive way. An angry person always keeps things churned up by causing strife, arguing, quarreling, dissension. Another word is discord. And I was wondering, Andrew, could you help me this morning? Would you play Jesus Loves Me on the piano? And no matter what I do, you just keep playing, okay? There it is. Isn't that pretty? You know what an angry person does? Okay, you can stop. I mean, no matter how much you want peace or harmony in a home, a church, a business. If you have an angry person, you have discord. Everybody else may want things to move smoothly, but you got that angry person who's just causing problems all the time. Some homes could be beautiful families were it not for the anger of the strifeful person. And people begin to avoid that place. Some businesses would be a great place to work were it not for the fact that an employee or the boss, somebody's just always throwing a fit. Some churches could be unified and work together for the cause of Christ were it not for the fact that somebody always has to have their way and gets angry, throws a fit if they don't, keeps things churned up. In the scriptures we read of King Saul in the Old Testament, who became very jealous when David killed Goliath. His anger caused him to begin to hate David and to want to kill David. Saul, King Saul's son, Jonathan, was a friend with David. David and Jonathan were best friends. They liked to be together. And when Saul found this out, not only did he throw his javelin at David, but he threw it at his son, Jonathan. The Bible tells us in 1 Samuel 20, verse 30, then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan. He said unto him, thou son of a perverse, rebellious woman. You see, Saul's boiling temper was destroying not only him, it was destroying his family and other relationships. People wanted to be at peace with the king, Saul. They couldn't. And we see that anger in the fact that he threw things at other people. He called people names. He would scream and yell at David or his own son. He was very violent. He just was very destructive. And it was all traced back to his pride and his arrogancy of not getting his way and throwing fits of anger. Proverbs 21, verse 19 says, "It's better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman." In other words, if home is not a pleasant place to be because there's arguing going on, then people are going to avoid that. They're going to find someplace else to be. They'd rather be anywhere else than where there's that anger and that fighting and that strife going on. Anger destroys our relationships with people. Not only that, anger will destroy your walk with God. Notice the last part of verse 22 here. It says, "An angry man stirreth up strife." And this, verse 22 says, "And a furious man aboundeth in transgression." The Proverbs often does. It'll take a statement, it'll make it, and then it'll say the same statement a different way and expand on it just a little bit. So the first half of the verse goes with the second half of the verse and vice versa. And we read here, "A furious man." Furious means this person is just very hot-tempered. In fact, the word was sometimes translated the idea of poisonous. Just this poison of hot temper. "He abounds in transgression." He just overflows in sins. Commits lots of sin. Anger is kind of a master sin. Trace back to our pride. But where you find a person that's just always got that temper, that bad temper, that anger, you're going to find all kinds of other sins. That's just one of the sins. And all sin is against God. And this sin will destroy your walk with God, your fellowship with God, because you will be abounding in transgression if you are a person of an angry, furious, hot temper. Think of Moses. God wanted to use Moses. If Moses were alive today, we'd say, "Moses is a Christian. God wants to use you." But at the age of 40, Moses got angry at an Egyptian, you might remember. And he allowed that anger to take over his heart and his mind, and he lost control, and he went over and killed that Egyptian. And the Jewish people said, "We saw what you did. Are you going to kill us like you did him?" And God took Moses and set him on the shelf for 40 years while he learned how to be a shepherd to sheep. And then God said, "But I want to use you." He brought him back and he used Moses to lead the Jewish people out of Egypt and to take them to the promised land. Remember the event where God told Moses to strike the rock, and when Moses hit the rock, water would come out. Remember that? It's a picture of Christ who was smitten for us on Calvary. Because of him, we have living water. We have the Holy Spirit. But down the road a ways, after the people griped and griped and griped and griped and griped and griped, Moses is upset, and God says, the people say, "We want water, we want water." And God says, "Okay, Moses, this time don't hit the rock. You just talk to it." It's a picture of how that we don't re-crucify Christ. Only once was he crucified. And we just go to him and we say, "Lord, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. Will you save me?" And we just talk to the rock, talk to Christ, receive him. But Moses, he wasn't thinking about those pictures. He wasn't thinking about the types. Moses was thinking about, "These people make me mad." And he grabbed that rod and he begins to beat on the rock. Because he's mad, he's angry, he lost his temper. And God in his graciousness gave water, but God said, "Moses, you can't go in the promised land." Now, we'll see Moses in heaven. But Moses was not allowed to go into Canaan because of this sin of anger. So God wanted to bless him, and in greater ways, but Moses missed out on those blessings because he constantly was throwing these fits of anger. God said, Jonah, I want you to go be a missionary to Nineveh. Well, Jonah didn't like the Ninevites. He hoped they did perish in hell. He didn't like them. They were the enemy. And you know the story of Jonah and the great whale, the fish. And I'm not going to go into that. I want to skip to the last chapter, where Jonah goes out and sits on a hill and looks down at Nineveh. And he is, I'm going to sit here and wait for God to judge this city. He's waiting for the fire to fall. But it isn't going to fall because the people have repented. Jonah's mad. I knew you were long-suffering. I knew you were gracious. And then this gourd plant begins to grow up over Jonah. Remember that? It shades Jonah. And there's one time in the book of Jonah where it talks about how Jonah was happy. Jonah was happy with his gourd plant. He liked his gourd plant. And then this little worm. God sends this little worm, crawls up on that gourd plant. And the gourd plant dies. And Jonah's back being mad, furious. God says, do you do well, Jonah, to be this mad? Yes, I'll be this mad till I die. My gourd plant died. God said, Jonah, you care about a gourd plant. You didn't water it. You didn't take care of it. It just came up. You care about that old gourd plant. Jonah, I care about people. I care about the souls of men and women, boys and girls. I care about Nineveh. See, Jonah was upset about the wrong things. He cared more about his gourd plant than he did about God and people. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, made this great big image of himself. And he wanted everybody to come and bow down to that image. It was a stupid rule, don't you think? It's dumb. And three guys said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we're not bowing to this image. And Nebuchadnezzar threw a fit. A furious man abounds in transgression. Daniel chapter 3, verse 13 says that Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and in his fury, he called those three guys in. He said, heat up the furnace. These guys are going in it. Now, let me tell you something about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were not rebellious people, but they could not obey this king's stupid rule. And had they done so, they would have disobeyed the King of Kings, godly rules. Nebuchadnezzar was an angry fool. In Luke chapter 4, the Lord Jesus Christ, at the age of 30, goes into the synagogue in Nazareth where he was raised. He's going to preach, I think, probably his first public message in the synagogue in Nazareth. He takes the scroll. He reads from Isaiah. He hands the scroll back to the man in charge of it, and he says, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears, claiming to be the Christ, the Messiah. And then he begins to tell these people, you know, if you won't trust God and His Word and His Christ, then God can heal you somebody else. There were many lepers in Israel, but God went over and healed Naaman the leper of another country. And there were lots of widows in Israel that needed help, but God went over and helped this widow over here. And he's telling the Jewish people, you're not going to go to heaven because you're a Jew, because you go to the synagogue. You must trust his word and you must trust the Messiah. And if you don't, God will use somebody else. You know what their answer was? Luke 4:28. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. They exploded in an angry fit. They kicked Jesus out of the synagogue. They kicked him out of their community and would have killed him had not God preserved him, because he dared tell them that salvation was not by being good. It was by trusting the Messiah. Salvation was not by being a member of a particular race. It was by trusting the Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior God provided. So there is a holy anger, but most of our anger isn't very holy. And anger destroys, number two, the most important relationships, relationships with people, and even our walk with God. In these closing moments, I want to give you some helps here, if I can, from the Bible, to conquer a bad temper. And some of these will help you in a number of other ways as well. First of all, learn to pick your battles wisely. Not everything's worth getting mad about. Not everything's worth even fighting about. Learn to pick your battles wisely. Jonah was upset about a gourd. He was upset about the stuff that passes away. Why not pour your passion, your love, the things that concern you, into the great commission of the Lord Jesus Christ? God is more important than anything, and people are more important than stuff. Proverbs 19, verse 11 says, "The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is a glory to pass over a transgression." You don't have to address everything. Can you imagine what it was like for Jesus to be here, and as he walked down the street, how much sin he saw? He who was the light of the world. He in whom there was no darkness at all. He must have noticed it everywhere. Yet he wasn't walking down the street just in an explosive fit of anger addressing it all. Instead, he went to the cross in graciousness to die for our sins, to be buried, to rise again. Some things just aren't worth fighting about. Secondly, watch your tone of voice. Watch your tone of voice. Sometimes it's the sarcastic remark, the little slam that comes back when somebody asks a question or says something. Proverbs 15, verse 1 says, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." Proverbs 29, 11 says, "A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it till afterwards." I mentioned this before, but some years ago, a lady told me, she said, "Well, I just say whatever I think. Whatever comes to mind, that's just what I say. At least I'm not a hypocrite." No, she was a fool. Because a fool uttereth all his mind. Don't say everything that comes to your mind. Keep a soft answer. Watch your tone of voice. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 4, the fourth chapter of Ephesians. Thirdly, learn to be just like Jesus and forgive. Learn to be like Christ and forgive. Ephesians 4, we'll start in verse 26, where the Bible says, "And be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." Verse 27, Ephesians 4, "Neither give place to the devil." Talks about stealing there in verse 28. 29 talks about what comes out of our mouth is to edify others. And verse 30 talks about not grieving the Holy Spirit. Notice verse 31. "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Put that stuff away. That's the way of the world. That's the way of the unsaved people, the way of the non-Christians, the unbelievers. But verse 32 says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Many people are angry over things that happened yesterday's. I know people that are upset about things that happened 20 years ago. They still bring it up when they get mad about something. Let it go. forgive, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. In order to release yourself from anger and bitterness and mean-spiritedness, you have to release others. Galatians, right before Ephesians, there is the book of Galatians, chapter 5. Learn to walk in the Spirit. Learn to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 14. Galatians 5, verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say, then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. God says, if you will learn to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit on a daily basis, then you will not show forth the fruit or the lust of the flesh. If you just walk with God, if you just walk in the power of the Holy Spirit's not going to lead you to be an angry, bitter, mean-spirited person. He's not going to lead you to be a person out of control, because one of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. And when we look down there in verse 22, verse 20 tells us lust of the flesh, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, and so on. And God says, if you'll learn to walk in the Spirit, you can get control over your anger. And then let's go to the book of James, and we'll be done. Book of James, chapter 1. Verse 18. James 1:18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. It's talking about being born again. He's talking to Christians, the born again. That we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. What God is telling us, you want to conquer the angry, mean-spirited temper that you have? Get in the word. It'll save your soul. It'll deliver your life. Saturate your life with God's word. Every day when you get up, you should go to the Lord and say, God, help me today to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Help me today to obey you. Help me, God, through your strength and your power to get control over my tongue, my anger, whatever it is. Meet with God. Have a time when you meet with God in his word and saturate your life with the Bible. Let's stand and sing the song, I Surrender All, this morning. It's there on page.